Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
God of mercy, you promise never to break your covenant with us. Amid all the changing words of our world, speak your eternal word that does not change. Then may we respond to your gracious promises with faithful and obedient lives. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. It would be on page 35 and 36 in the New Testament and in the New Pew Bibles. Please follow along or read with me as I read. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on the left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" And he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of the Lord.
We parade in with the palm branches and we lay them at the feet, not of me. They just happen to be right there. But we lay them at the feet of the coming king as he processes into Jerusalem on a donkey, which is not as impressive even at the time as we might like to imagine it is. And so we have just barely started that story when we find ourselves wondering, wait, is this what the good news really is? Is this what Jesus' ministry and life among us is really about? Friends, I'm not going to lie. These stories that we have been reading during the season of Lent have left me hungry for some really just purely unambiguously good news. Good news that I don't have to like struggle and wonder and reach for. And now, that good news is coming next week, so come back next week. But during this season of Lent, as we've been preparing for Easter, we have been listening to the stories that Jesus told shortly before he died. And reading these stories at this particular time puts them in a different kind of relief for me. Now, these are some hard stories that Jesus told, these parables that sort of take us outside of our own everyday experience and ask us to imagine and understand life differently than we understand it. These are hard stories to understand even if we don't understand the way that they apply to us. And they get harder when we do understand how these stories apply to us. Even with today's story, this wonderful scene with Jesus gathers all of the nations in front of them and he organizes them according to how well they have treated him. And we really like to stop that reading right after the part with the sheep. Right before Jesus then says, and the king will turn to those on his left. And it gets a lot more ambiguous right after that, doesn't it? Well, Jesus has been telling these stories for some particular reasons. He's been trying to teach us how it is we are to live when Jesus is not with us, or at least when it seems like Jesus is not with us, when we can't identify or recognize who he is or where he is among us. And during this season of Lent, we've been reading those stories and connecting those stories to life in Iowa today, which has a tendency to even more highlight the challenging bits of those stories, those resonances between Jesus' stories and the stories that we see, for instance, in the newspaper as we read about life in our own communities. Jesus is teaching us about the kingdom of heaven. He's teaching us what it looks like when we do God's will right here on earth. And he's telling us that that points to some very different choices than the way that the world usually works. And so when we talk about what it means that Jesus is king, we have to recognize what happens when it looks like Jesus is not king. Now, all of that is to say that if today's sermon feels like kind of a reach, that's part of the reason that the kingdom of heaven, as we are in the story right now today, the kingdom of heaven is still in the thick of this confrontation with the world as it is the world around us. Another way maybe I could put it is that if today's scripture reading is true, if the story that Jesus told that Dick read for us this morning, if that is true, then this image on the screen is a picture of Jesus. If what Jesus said to us in today's story is true, that is a picture of Jesus. Now, this picture comes from a story in the Des Moines Register about a city ordinance in Des Moines about where people can stand to hold a sign and request contributions from passersby. And spoiler alert, they're not allowed to do that right there where this Jesus is standing on the median of a divided road. Now, that local political question has passed by. The question has been resolved. The sticking point in that conversation was how to balance the priorities of, one, preventing a dangerous situation where you're standing just feet from passing buses, versus freedom of speech and freedom of location, and honestly, the freedom to move about the world for folks who are in the situation that this individual is in. And those are not simple questions to resolve. It is not a simple question to know how to respond to panhandling, even if you are not on the city council. And so I'm not here to lay guilt on anybody for any of the times that you or I have not given to those who ask of us. But it is worth recognizing, I think it's worth recognizing how many different ways it is effectively illegal to be poor in our communities. I think it is worth recognizing how many different places you can't be or resources you can't have access to if you don't already have access to a certain level of resources. Jesus' story places himself right in this situation. Jesus' story places himself in every one of those situations where we see somebody marginalized, excluded, disadvantaged, or deprived. And then Jesus' story holds us accountable for that, holds us accountable for how we treat our actual, real, flesh and blood neighbors right around us, even when we understand that that situation is complicated and how to help is difficult. And frankly, we find ways of justifying that situation, at least to ourselves. But see, part of the way that Jesus has been so challenging this entire season, part of the way that Jesus is so challenging at all, is that he is not interested in whether the suffering and the brokenness of this world are fair. He's not interested in whether we can justify what is going on in the world around us. He is only interested in who is in need and what do they need. And that also points us to the grace that Jesus offers, because he is less interested in judging specific individual actions and much more interested in changing hearts. He's much more interested in changing who we are so that our actions can reflect who God truly is within us. So Jesus tells us this story today that, as ambiguous as it is at the question of do we find cheerful good news here, the story itself is not all that ambiguous. Jesus tells us a story that lets us know that faithfulness to our neighbors in need is faithfulness to Jesus Christ. The end. That's the whole story. We will see that in this story of Holy Week, and we will seek to believe it to be true even now in our lives in the world. Well, I promised you there was going to be a scripture lesson here as well. So this is just a little context after the fact to tie this story into Holy Week. This is literally the very next handful of verses right after this story that Jesus told. Here is Matthew 26, verses 1 through 5. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, all this story Dick just read for us, when Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and they conspired to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." This too somehow is the word of the Lord. And this story, this setup that the religious leaders are conspiring to set in place, this trap for Jesus, this will come just about a day after Jesus finished teaching those words to his disciples. And then after that arrest, which we will remember on Thursday night this week, we will go on to remember his trial and his torture and his death. We will see how the dominant empire of the world declares Jesus worthless, worse than worthless. They will declare him dangerous, a danger to the way that things are. Which is literally what Jesus just said about himself in that first part of the story. He just said about himself that he is present in and as the least among us. And he is about to live out that reality. To live out that reality just like he acted out the reality of glory in that strange upside-down parade that we commemorated just a few minutes ago in our worship service. But even this is not the end of the story. The end of the story, which is the beginning of the story, comes next week. You really do have to come back for that. But right here, today, I want to just invite us to stay here. Stay here and recognize that Jesus is Lord on Palm Sunday just as much as he is on Easter. He is Lord in the story he just told us just as much as he is at the anticipated end of time when he comes to set everything right again. And that's not just to say that Jesus is humble, although that is true too. See, Jesus doesn't quit being God when he is present among us as the least and the most marginalized. But he doesn't come to wield divine power the way that Roman imperial or religious leaders do. Instead, to understand Jesus and to understand this week that we are about to live through, we have to think really differently about how the world sees authority. It's not about the largest, the most powerful, the most threatening voice among us. Instead, the true authority in the world, on earth as it is in heaven, the true authority is our neighbor's deepest need. See, Jesus in this story is not telling us that we have to be nice to poor and vulnerable people, although we certainly should. Instead, Jesus in this story is telling us that we have to obey those who are poor or vulnerable or in need, that they are the ones who hold the authority that Jesus has come to bring into the world. We have to learn from them. We have to stand with them. Because that is where we see the kingdom of heaven. That is how we see the kingdom of heaven. When we understand someone else's need, because that is where Jesus is. He's never gone. He's just in the least among us. And that's the good news. Ambiguous though it is, that is the good news, that we are not alone, but Jesus is present among us, teaching us again how to love. The Lord of love looks like this. The Lord of love looks like a single parent with the savvy to stretch those SNAP dollars to last all month somehow. The Lord of love looks like a woman dying of cancer and yet praying for her granddaughter's wedding. It looks like the abuse survivor who just wants the opportunity to help and to serve others. Looks like the prison inmate who is teaching a self-made Bible study because there is truth to be had and shared. What we need, each of us knows what we have to offer. And our work is to recognize those gifts and those opportunities to obey that call, that authority of love in our world. And so may we walk faithfully through this week. Amen. And now, a moment for mission. Our Coins for Concern partner for the month of April is Ellipsis. All the loose change in our offering plate this month will go directly to support this vital mission partner. You may know Ellipsis through one of their predecessor organizations, Youth Homes of Mid-America and Youth Emergency Services and Shelter. In this last year, Ellipsis has positively impacted nearly 600 kids and families on a daily basis. They are a no-wrong-door service provider. They work to connect Central Iowa kids and families to successful futures, no matter how they find Ellipsis. No matter what has been or what currently is the situation, they help youth move toward what is possible. Ellipsis provides residential programs, counseling, and crisis care to keep kids safely in their families. This work often takes place over the course of years, but even on a case-by-case and day-by-day basis, their goals remain the same: to encourage the sort of long-lasting physical, mental, and emotional well-being that keeps kids and families together, lifts our community, and helps youth understand who they ultimately want to be. Thank you for helping Ellipsis support the kids and families in our communities through this month's Coins for Concern. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.